Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited-time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Bruce McGowan, longtime sports radio personality. Today's show is going to be fun. Who's going to be our guest today?
Yeah, I got a good friend of mine from the local media here in the Bay Area, Steve Kroner, who has worked in television in sports production. He was a producer for many years with one of the local TV stations, and also has now been writing for the most prominent newspaper in Northern California, the San Francisco Chronicle. He is a sports writer and covers a little bit of everything. So Steve has been around for a long time and has some great stories to tell, and we're going to have some fun.
Excellent. And today's trivia theme is going to be baseball history.
Oh, boy, that sounds tough.
That's going to be fun. Well, let's see here. I got some ones.
Probably got some obscure ones for me, huh?
Just a little bit. Okay. Not too bad.
Okay.
Always
got to
keep
you
fun.
We'll let
here.
Steve get in on this.
Definitely. Yeah, and I know that you're going to ask him about Wayne Walker.
Yes, we're going to talk about Wayne Walker. And for those that don't remember Wayne Walker, you should. He played in the NFL for 16 years with the Detroit Lions, outstanding linebacker who later became a very popular sportscaster in television here in the Bay Area, and just had a terrific career. So, good guy.
Good. Now, he just passed on.
He did. He did pass on a few years ago.
But, how old was he?
I'd have to ask Steve that. I don't think he was quite 80. Okay. He was in his late 70s, I believe.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. This segment of Sports Econ 101 is sponsored by Pacific Private Money, providing mortgage investments that are currently yielding over 7.5% secured, mostly by California real estate, but they do have a few pieces outside of California. Still no losses. That's the important thing. Consistent dividend distributions with no losses. Doesn't get any more conservative than that. You got to check them out at pacificprivatemoney.com. Also, when Steve comes on, I want to talk about these latest penalties that we're seeing in preseason, you know, with the roughing the passer and tackling. It's amazing how frustrating it's getting as a fan, just seeing these highlights and going, are you serious?
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't touch that dial. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, and we are going to be right back.
This is Mark Hanf, co-host of Mortgage Investing 101. Did you know that you can earn, year in and year out, returns of 8% and more on your savings and retirement accounts? Mortgage-backed investment strategies such as trusted investing and mortgage pool funds can do just that. Since 2008, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments. Find out for yourself how you, too, can profit from these real estate-secured investments. Call 415-883-2150 or visit our website at PacificPrivateMoney.com.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Your car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol EDGE with fluid titanium technology. It's three times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy five quarts of Castrol EDGE and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. Three times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 Visgrade.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Bruce McGowan. Bruce, who's on the phone?
Yeah, I got Steve Croner, a good friend of ours. We've known for many years, works in the local media here in the Bay Area. As we mentioned before, in case you just tuned in, we will mention it again. Steve was a television producer for the local CBS affiliate for many, many years, and has also worked as a sports writer for a number of years with the local San Francisco Chronicle. And Steve, I just thought we'd start off by talking about your former colleague, a former NFL star who played in the NFL for about 16 years with the Detroit Lions, Wayne Walker, who later became a very prominent figure in local media with television sports as a news anchor, a sports anchor on the local TV news. And you worked with Wayne for about 10 years. And Wayne really was a unique kind of a guy. Great athlete, great football player. I'm not sure if he's in the Hall of Fame, but he probably should be. Hey, tell us a little bit about your interaction with him and your friendship with him.
Yeah, Bruce Edward, great to be with both you guys. And it was great to work with Wayne. I actually worked with him for 12 years. And he was a great guy with whom to work. For and with. Wayne was a big-time guy who didn't big-time anybody, if that makes sense. Wayne, obviously, having played 15 years in the NFL, and then not only was he a broadcaster on the local CBS affiliate doing sportscasts, which is how I worked with Wayne, but he also, both for CBS and for 49er Radio, was a great color commentary person doing games. So Wayne was really cool. He let Art Dlugicz, who was a longtime producer who's still working part-time in Texas in radio and newspapers, actually. He let Art and I have pretty much free reign on the sportscast, but he had a few rules. The main one was we were not going to look stupid. So that meant the graphics were going to be spelled right, players' names were going to be pronounced correctly. We would have fun with it, but we were not going to look stupid. And that was something that in which we took a lot of pride. Worked with Joe Fonzi for a number of those years as well. And we had a lot of fun, but we like to think we did things the right way. And that stemmed from the top because Wayne was as classy a man as I could be, or as you could meet. And he died a year ago May, and I had to had to and got to write his obituary for the Chronicle, which was on some levels, a labor of love, and on other levels, as you can imagine, awfully tough to do. But my life has been enriched by the 12 years I spent with Wayne and the friendship we built over those years and beyond.
Yeah, Wayne was unique. I mean, no question, he was the most popular sportscaster in the Bay Area during his time on KPIX. And more than that, you mentioned his association with the 49ers, working in the booth first with Don Klein and then, I believe, with Joe Starkey, as well as Lon Simmons. I mean, he had a special kind of a bond with the football players on that 49er team, didn't he, back in the 1980s?
Absolutely. In fact, we spoke with both Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott do Wayne's obituary, and they both were effusive in their praise for Wayne. And it wasn't as if Wayne didn't ever criticize. He wasn't a complete, softball questions and answers. He would criticize when it was proper, but if the players felt justifiably so that Wayne would not do anything that would, for want of a better term, undermine them, that they could confide in him, and he knew kind of what was off the record and what wasn't. And I think, too, I mean, the fact that he played 15 years in the NFL, that gives him a cachet that those of us who played maybe 15 years of flag football on the street and in the school, that we don't have that. So Wayne's personality, the fact that he had played, and just the integrity he had as a broadcaster and a journalist, I think really endeared him to the players, not only of that generation, of his generation, but the ones that followed him.
I would have loved to have asked him, what was it like playing with Alex Karras?
Alex Karras and Joe Schmidt and Lem Barney. I mean, those Detroit Lions teams were loaded back in the late 50s, early 60s. They had some great teams. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking to Edward, and we're talking to Steve Kroner from the San Francisco Chronicle. We were mentioning the famous movie with Alan Alda.
About George Plimpton. Paper Lion.
Yeah. And Alex Karras and Wayne Walker and all those great Lion players actually played themselves. Vince Lombardi even had a cameo role in that movie. I think it was made about 1967, maybe? 66?
The sad thing for that for Wayne was, because Wayne was actually on a USO tour, I believe, in Vietnam.
Really?
At the time. So he was not in the movie.
Oh, really? I thought he was. Okay.
Yeah, he was not in the movie. And kind of getting back to Wayne and his personality, Wayne had some great stories, as you could imagine, about his time in the NFL. But he was not one of those guys who would force those stories on you. If you asked him about some stories, he'd tell you. But unless you asked, he wouldn't tell you. that was the kind of guy that he was.
He wasn't the kind of guy that would, tell all. But what you have any good ones that you remember that Wayne had for you when you asked him, some fun? Because football was a lot different in those days. Let's face it, the 50s and 60s was a more informal time. Football wasn't quite as prominent as it became in the 70s with Monday Night Football and the expansion with the AFL and NFL, merging. I mean, does Wayne have any particular stories that you remember that you enjoyed hearing?
There are a couple I remember that I probably can't tell. I assume somewhat family radio.
Yes, it is.
one I can't tell. One of Wayne's great disappointments, to be honest, in a 15-year NFL career that spanned from 1958 to 1972, was that he played in only one playoff game. I mean, it was a lot tougher to make the playoffs in most of those years because they'd be only the division-winning team. And he was playing in a division with the Packers, and then the Vikings became very good, but the one year in which he made the playoffs was 1970, and the Lions were the first NFC wild card team to make it. And he really thought that at the end of the season that they were the best team in the NFC, and they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And they're playing the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, and he really thinks they're going to win. And before the game, he is in warm-ups, and he looks at the quarterback, Greg Landry. He said Greg Landry was throwing up because he was so nervous.
Oh, no.
At that point, Wayne said, I think we're done. You look it up, so to speak. The Lions lost that game 5-0.
5-0. A field goal and a safety, huh?
I forgot about that.
Wayne, that in his entire career, the Lions defense didn't ever give up a touchdown in the postseason.
And they never scored a touchdown in the postseason.
And they didn't score a touchdown, and they lost the game 5-0.
So
it was... You know, he was I think, you know, he was pretty – Greg Landry, I never met the man, but I think Wayne was, you know, certainly liked him. But that day, Greg Landry might have let down the
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. In fact, that was the year that the Colts beat
– the Colts beat the Cowboys, in the famous Blunder Bowl where there were 9 turnovers in that game. Crazy, crazy.
Correct. And the Niners looked as if they might get to the Super Bowl that year. They
that's
lost
right.
Dallas in the last – game ever played at Keysar
Stadium. Very good knowledge there. Yeah, they lost the NFC title game to the Cowboys the very first time the Niners were in the finals, and they lost to the Cowboys in the last game at Keysar.
And wasn't that the one with the onside kick?
No. That was 2 years later.
2 years later.
That was 2 years later. Yeah.
Preston Riley fumbling the onside kick.
Yeah, the Packers or the Cowboys beat the Niners 3 years running in the playoffs, 70, 71, and 72. They knocked them out. Well, let's move to the here and the now. One of the teams that you've been covering and I've been covering with the local CBS radio station, and it's really quite a story, and you don't hear a lot about them nationally. You don't even hear that much about them locally. I mean, they had 9,000-plus fans at their game Monday night against the Texas Rangers. The Oakland A's, maybe the most exciting and successful team in baseball as we speak. Steve, what's going on with the Oakland A's? Why are they not drawing? For those people that are not from the Bay Area, they look at the statistics and they probably wonder what the heck is going on.
Yeah, well, we're actually going to cut to a break, and we want to get Steve's comments on that. Okay,
let's talk about that.
And Steve, if you remember, because you've been on the show before, I'm going to ask a trivia question. If you know the answer, don't say anything, because we want the audience to try to get a shot at this. This is an easy one.
What if I don't know the answer?
That don't answer anyway.
Well, just try to fake it.
Exactly. Okay. Talking baseball history. What 6'2", 225-pound player used to cut his sleeves off to expose his massive biceps to intimidate pitchers?
I know that one.
You know this one. I know.
That one.
You know that one, too. I knew that. I have to start off with a softball question, all right?
Yeah.
This is baseball, not softball, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Email Edward at sportsecon101.com, the answer to that question. One more time. What 225-pound player. You
not
cut
a two-inch player.
No. you guys know what the question
not
is.
Not a midget.
All right. All right. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wahl and Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wahl has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wahl, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wahl has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Bruce McGowan. Here is our first trivia question. What 6 foot 2 inch, 225 baseball player used to cut off his sleeves to expose his massive biceps to intimidate pitchers?
I'm going to let Steve answer that one. I know the question, and I think you do, or the answer, and I think you do too. But go ahead, Steve. You want to give it a shot?
I'll give it a shot, but you know what? I won't give it a shot because I don't want to give it away. I think I know. I could even give the initials, but I'll pass. But
All right, I believe it was Ted Klazuski.
It was Ted Klazuski. That's right, playing for the
Reds.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, he was when I was a little kid. He was quite the slugger, and apparently a very nice guy. He had these huge arms, though, upper arms. And
I think it was more like Frank Howard when I was growing
up. Yeah, Frank. You know? Well, God, Frank Howard was about 6'8", 6'9". One of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I got to know him very slightly as a coach. And there's another guy who's passed on. But anyway, we're talking to Steve Kroner from the San Francisco Chronicle, and we were mentioning before we broke away about the Oakland A's. And, Steve, you know, for those fans that don't follow the Oakland A's, and a lot of people don't outside of the Bay Area, it's been a crazy year this year. They weren't supposed to do anything, and right now they may be the best team in all of baseball. First of all, what's going on with them? And secondly, why aren't they able to attract a decent audience?
Well, the first part of what's going on with them, to me, the most amazing thing for the A's in the past 3 weeks or so has been their starting pitching has been really good. They've used 13 starting pitchers this season. That number, as of a couple of days ago, was the second most by any team in the majors. And the only other team to have used more, Tampa Bay, is some of that is a shtick because the Rays have used relievers intentionally as starters for a couple innings. But in any event, the A's starting pitching has been their weakness for 3+ months of the season. And, you know, between injuries and ineffectiveness, they've gone through 13 different starting pitchers. But the starting rotation right now, they got Mike Fiers from Detroit, which really seemed to solidify the rotation. Edwin Jackson was in the minor league for Washington through June. The A's signed him in early June, brought him up at the end of June. He's been a godsend for them. Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson, who both started their careers in Oakland, both seemingly on their last legs, have pitched extremely well. The A's starting pitching and the lone pitcher who's been in the rotation the entire time, Sean Manaea, has had stretches where he's looked to be as good a bit as anybody in the bigs, and then he had a month of May in which he was terrible. But the last 3 weeks or so, the A's starting pitching has been great, and you combine that with a bullpen that's been lights out all season, and these have added to that bullpen. Blake Treinen and Lou Trevino have been their number one and number two guys for a long time, but they've added Juris Familia. They've added Fernando Rodney. They're in really good shape in the back end of the bullpen, even in the front end of the bullpen. And their offense is not great, but it seems to have enough. There's not anybody who's an automatic out. And they hit a lot of home runs, Chris Davis being the most notable there. The A's have it going as well as anybody in the bigs, as you mentioned, Bruce. And reasons they don't draw, those of us in the Bay Area know this, but probably people who don't live in the Bay Area might not. One is they play in a Coliseum, and it's certainly not a standard for Major League Baseball. It's not a horrible place to watch a game, but it's certainly not a great place to watch it. It's more than 50 years old, and it's had all kinds of problems, including, I'm not joking about this, problems with the plumbing. secondly, the A's ownership up until the last year or so has not really promoted the club very well. third, the team has come off three straight losing seasons. So sometimes attendance doesn't pick up the season you get good. It picks up the season after you get good, when people kind of believe. And lastly, and this is all kind of tied into this, some of the A's fans' favorite players over the past, maybe half dozen years, because people forget, shouldn't forget, that from 2012 to 2014, the A's were a playoff team in each of those three seasons and had some really good teams. But Josh Donaldson, Yoenis Cespedes, I could go on. Guys who kind of were part and parcel of those teams were dealt mainly for prospects. And after a while, I think a lot of A's fans were turned off by all those four things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is they don't seem to either get like super superstars, or if they do get someone who's starting to get it to be a superstar, they just trade them away.
Well, and part of that, I think, part of it is money, isn't it, Steve? I mean, the payroll is just ridiculously low.
In relative terms.
Yeah.
I believe the A's have the third lowest payroll in the big, somewhere between the lowest and the third lowest. And so a lot of that is payroll derived. Now, there is some thought that the A's have been benefiting. They have been benefiting from revenue sharing, because even though they're in a big market, another reason, of course, we should mention that the A's don't draw is they're in the same market as the Giants. And even though the A's are having a much better season this year than the Giants have won three World Series in the past eight seasons. They play in a gorgeous ballpark. They play in San Francisco, and
that's very convenient, too.
San Francisco is still a bigger name in the Bay Area and nationally, internationally, than Oakland. And to go even more historic, the Giants were here 10 years before the A's were. The Giants came in 1958, the A's in 68. Those things also contribute to the A's not drawing as well as a team that's playing as well as the A's would expect to draw.
It's intriguing, though, to watch them. I mean, I love Bob Melvin, their manager, former Giant catcher, former Arizona manager and Seattle manager, and really the hottest young, he's not that young, he's in his 50s now, but one of the best young managers in the game, and he could write his own ticket anywhere. But I get the feeling somehow, if the A's prevail this year, get into the playoffs, maybe win a round, that he and Billy Beane, the head of baseball operations, just might stick around another year. There has been talk that they will leave, but now I'm beginning to wonder, because of all the success they've had. They've had the best record in baseball the last 2 months. What do you think? You think these guys are going to hang out for another couple of years?
You know, Bruce, I hate to speculate on those things. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes in terms of money or anything else? I do know, I've known Bob since we were both at Cal, almost 40 years ago. And Bob's he's a straight shooting guy. And one thing I can tell you, he really is a Bay Area guy. He grew up on the peninsula. He went to Cal. He was a Giants and A's fan growing up. He's a big Warriors fan. I mean, a lot of that stuff is secondary, let's be honest, when you're talking about, you know, money and length of contract and those things. But I don't think they would be completely dismissed by Bob either. Those things, I think, do matter to him. So I think in a perfect world, if the A's do well, and who knows what they do in the postseason, I believe he and Billy and David Forrest, who's the GM, I believe they're all signed through next season. But after that, there's the question of what will happen to all three of those guys, and I'm not going to purport to have any inside info on that. I will say I think you're right that if things go really well for the A's, that certainly would make it harder, at least in a public relations sense, for those guys to go. But again, there are things behind the scenes. Look, when we have contract negotiations, I don't think they're quite of the monetary height that Mr. Forrest and Mr. Melvin and Mr. Beane would have, but sure, there are things that we have in our jobs that we wouldn't want to know the public to know, good, bad, or indifferent. So I can't purport to say I know exactly what's going to happen with Bob, but I can tell you he's a really good guy, and if he's not the manager of the year in the American League, I know there's some support for Alex Cora, what he's done with Boston, but you consider the expectations the A's had, and don't forget that as of mid-June, they were under 500 and more than double digits out of first place. So what they've done in the past 2 months is exemplary. It's extraordinary.
How much do you think Billy Beane makes as general manager?
Well, he's got a piece of the action, doesn't he, Steve? Doesn't he own a small?
I believe he is a smaller. I wouldn't.
Kind of tough to speculate. Donald Fisher's kind of an interesting guy because you don't hear anything about the A's owner. He doesn't appear publicly. He never makes any public statements, and yet he's been sort of the lightning rod for criticism, and probably rightly so because he continues to downsize this team, although this year, as you pointed out, the A's have been in the buying mode. They've added help to their pitching staff, so maybe in the long run he's seeing the light. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question because he doesn't. John Fisher really hasn't made himself available at all for a long time. Lou Wolf, who was a part owner, he still might have some small ownership in the team, but he's not. He was the face of the franchise for a long time, even though, from what I understand, John Fisher has a much larger financial stake in the team.
I might have called him Donald Fisher. It's actually you're right, John Fisher.
John Fisher. hey guys, tell you what, we're going to go to one more break. When we come back, I do want to talk about a little football. And also, I want to ask if you think Andrew McCutchen being placed on waivers, is he going to get picked up by another team? Or do they just kind of test the market? Yeah, it's kind of interesting on that. Okay. All right, guys, here's our second baseball trivia question. Milt Pappas, now, did he pitch for Philadelphia?
Pitched for Cincinnati and Baltimore. And I'm not sure.
He must be involved
in the Frank Robinson trade. Baltimore traded him along with a couple of other players for Frank Robinson, which was one of the most one-sided trades in baseball history.
I remember a red uniform. That's why I thought Philadelphia.
Pretty good pitcher, but not Hall of Famer.
Okay, but he lost a perfect game by one pitch with two outs in the ninth inning in 1972. Mm. My question is, what happened on that pitch?
Okay.
All right?
Good question.
Email edward@sportsecon101.com. Extra bonus points if you can name the batter.
Oh, okay.
Extra bonus
points. I got a good guess on that, but I'm not going to try for the batter.
I can tell you, Bruce is not using his phone to look it up on Google, on the Google, as they say. All right, again, Milt Pappas lost a perfect game by one pitch with two outs in the ninth inning in 1972. What happened on that pitch? Don't touch that dial. Sports Econ 101 is going to be right back.
From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama.
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
Comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
Of growing up.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go figure out who they are?
In the dark ages.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Disenchantment.
Anybody looks at her, they get their head chopped off.
Boy, did I look at her.
Only on Netflix.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hi, Sports Econ 101 listeners. I'm Edward Brown. You know me as the host of the show, but you may not know that I work with individuals getting them the least expensive term life insurance policies around. Don't be fooled by the ads you hear on TV and radio. It's always best to work with someone who's completely independent. That's where I come in. If you email me at edward@sportsecon101.com, your name, your age, and how much insurance you want, I'll run the numbers through my software program and let you know the least expensive policy around from among many of the top insurance companies. Again, I'm totally independent, so email edward@sportsecon101.com for your free life insurance quote today. Why pay more for life insurance than you need to? I can get you a guaranteed policy where the low premiums are fixed anywhere from 10 to 35 years. So email edward@sportsecon101.com right now for your free life insurance quote. That's edward@sportsecon101.com.
I noticed my neighbor put a broken World's Best Dad mug in the recycling bin by his curb. So I did what anyone would do. Fixed it with some JB Weld Clear Weld Epoxy, then returned the next morning to stand in his yard and drink coffee. He and his family stared out the window at me with confusion, and underneath that, fear. And underneath that, I want to say jealous anger. But underneath that, there was also appreciation for a lesson well learned. Don't toss it, JB Weld it.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Bruce McGowan. Second trivia question. Milt Pappas lost a perfect game by one pitch with two outs in the ninth inning in 1972. What happened on that pitch?
Well, I'm guessing, and I'll defer to Steve for the batter, but I'm guessing he hit the batter.
No.
He didn't?
No, he didn't hit it.
Didn't hit the batter. Okay.
Mr. Croner, do you know the answer?
I have to, in this era of full disclosure, I have gone on my computer, and I believe I know the answer.
Okay, go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead. Tell us.
It appears that on a 3-2 pitch to Gary Gestad, who was pinch hitting for Enzo Hernandez, Ball four.
What
happened?
He walked. What I have here is he walked the pinch hitter, Larry Stahl.
Oh, Larry Stahl, Gary Gestad. Yeah. And one of those.
That's absolutely right. Your guess that is the next guy.
Obscure
San Diego.
Because it would not make sense because Enzo Hernandez would not have been batting ninth.
Obscure San Diego Padres, for those that might remember.
Early
70s.
But can you imagine that? I'm thinking, unless the pitch was like, hopefully the pitch was like so far out that it wouldn't. Can you imagine being the umpire for that and going, I got to call it a ball?
Pappas was a good pitcher. I think he won 20 games one year, but he was the principal guy in a trade that Baltimore made, which fleeced the Cincinnati Reds of Frank Robinson, who won MVP and the Orioles won the World Series in 1966, his first year with Baltimore.
That's right. They swept the Dodgers.
That's still considered today one of the, maybe the worst trade of all time in the history of baseball.
How would you like to be Mil Pappas and be on that side going,
no. I think the other guys were Jack Balchin and somebody like Alex.
Jack Balchin? Never heard of him.
Decent relief pitcher. Anyway, we're talking with Steve Croner from the Chronicle, and before we broke away, we were mentioning we should talk some NFL football because the upcoming season is just around the corner. And are you you still follow the NFL? I mean, the NFL's gone through some tough times here. All this stuff about the concussions and players dying early, and now they've had this new rule that says you can't lead with your helmet, and just a lot of problems for the NFL. But it's still the most popular sport, isn't it, Steve?
It's still by far, in terms of television ratings, it's still by far the most popular sport in the United States. And I think, I think people who are talking about the NFL is going to end in the next 5 years, I think that they're, the sky is falling. But it would be also not right to say that there aren't problems that the league realizes. The fact that I would think there are kids these days, a lot of them are not playing football because of the inherent dangers in the sport. I think the league knows that for its long-term success, for its long-term health, it does need to find a way to keep the, for want of a better term, violence in the game, but to somehow prevent the negative effects from happening. And that's obviously easier said than done. In fact, the way I'm saying it, it's easier not said than done, if that makes sense. But I hope you know what I'm saying, that those to keep what makes the NFL appealing, I mean, let's be honest, some of that is the violence of it, but to keep it within the realms of not having players have, brain damage and all kinds of things, it's a difficult line that the NFL is going to have to tread, but still, sure, for the near future, it's still by far the most popular team.
I just hope that they don't start putting them in tutus, here's the deal. Okay, so I'm watching a couple of highlights where there are lowlights, I guess is really what it is, with, the roughing the passer, and then this one tackle where it wasn't spearing. I mean, he led with his head, his helmet, but it was on the side, so he never really hit the guy with his helmet, and it was just a normal tackle, and it gets called for
leading with your helmet.
Roughness. And so I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, I mean, if you're going to have to teach players to tackle straight up, I mean, you know, because they can't lead with their helmet, they're going to have to keep their head up. A, I think you're going to get a lot of people getting hurt that way, but also a lot of the statistics are going to go kind of crazy. I mean, running backs are just going to run all over these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there is some thought, too, that running backs are not supposed to lead with their helmet either. Again, it's going to the, you know, trying to protect the players, but keeping the, you know, the essence of the game as it is. It's a hard line to walk. I've seen a number of players who are upset with the rule as it's stated. It's somewhat similar to what the college rule has been the past few years, if I'm not mistaken. And there are times you certainly will feel bad for a defensive back because, you know, what is he supposed to do when a receiver's crossing over the middle? You know, your thought is to try to hit him. Well, if the pass is, you know, higher or lower than the receiver expected, and he then goes higher or lower, and you had planned to hit him legally, say with your shoulder, but now you hit him in the head, not because you intended to do so, but because the pass was not where it was intended to be. Now you've got a penalty on something theoretically you didn't do wrong.
Well, do you remember last year in the playoffs, the Saints, like the last play of the game, you know, it looked like, what is he doing? What a stupid way to, you know, try to, like, get away. It looked like he was it was a defensive back or cornerback
against the Vikings, right?
And then, you know, when you hear the play from the player's standpoint, he says, well, I figured if I hit him, I was going to get called for a penalty. In the old days, would have just whacked him, and there wouldn't have been any penalty, and the game would have been over that way. But I'm a Vikings fan, so I was kind of happy with the play, but it seemed like a bonehead play. But you really have to kind of give them a little bit of grace on that, because there's been so many penalties on things and that's going to happen way more this year than it did last year.
Certainly in the NFL, you would think. Some players, I think, are hopeful that, you know, the refs will call it more often in the preseason to kind of lay down the law, so to speak.
Oh, that's a good point.
A little bit more lenient when the games count. We'll see. I mean, for 2 weeks, it has been something, I think, that the players are still trying to adjust to playing under those rules. We'll see how it goes.
And it's interesting, too, relating to all this, the revelations the last 10 years, 5 years, whatever it's been, that a number of players are dying at an early age in their 50s, and some, you know, not even in their 50s, getting dementia, Lou Gehrig's disease. Dwight Clark, for instance, the great 49er wide receiver, just passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease. He only had it for about a year and a half. Your good friend and former coworker, Wayne Walker, there's some evidence that he may have, with all the collisions he endured in 15 years in the NFL, may have expired at a younger age because of the fact that he absorbed so many hits. And that's the thing I think parents have to be really concerned with, Steve. And we're talking to Steve Croner from the San Francisco Chronicle about the hitting that goes on. Because if you get into the pros, you play, say, 5-6 years in the pros, that means you've played 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, 5 or 6 years in the pros. You played 15 years. That means 15 years of jarring, bone-crushing hits that affect the brain. And, you know, a lot of players get out of this game in good shape and they live a long life, but a lot more of them don't.
Yeah, again, it's a real dilemma for the sport and for the NFL in particular. And, 20 years ago, if you were to talk about people who played in the NFL or were playing in the NFL, you know, you kind of thought that when they got to be older, you know, they were going to have creaky knees and they were going to have painful backs, and their fingers might be gnarled because of the game. But let's be honest, we really didn't think it was going to affect their brains or it was going to affect their life expectancy. With the medical research that we know now, a lot of that sadly has come to our awareness. But I'll put it to you this way: Wayne was interviewed by KPIX on a story about a year before he died, and he had been dealing with Parkinson. And somebody asked him, you know, if you had to do it over again, would you do it over again? And he was unequivocal in saying yes. Football had given him so much, and he had loved the game, and it helped him to have a great career after the game, that even though he knew what the ramifications were, he still would do it. I would imagine most football players from high school up would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I don't think it affects California as much as it does other places. I really would believe that people should not be playing tackle football. Kids should not be playing tackle football until high school. I just don't think it's safe. You can play flag football and learn how the game is supposed to be played without having to endure the physicality of it. And then once you get to high school and you're A, bigger and stronger and maybe can handle the hits, and B, have a little bit more of free will in deciding whether you want to play or not. My one belief in this is that tackle football should be played by high schoolers and older, and nobody younger than high school.
You know, I think you're right about how many players would say that they would still have, they wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, especially if you're, 70 or 80 years old. I mean, it's one thing if you're, 50-something
right.
years
old. That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, Craig Morton, he was on our show a couple of years ago. He's still doing pretty well, is he?
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, Craig played, he's had some problems, not with the CTE, but he's had some major problems with his joints. And he played till he was almost 40 years old. And yeah. I remember when he played with the Broncos and got him into the Super Bowl in 1977, he was beat up. The Raiders just kicked the you-know-what out of him in the AFC title game. And, Craig's paying the price. He was an All-American quarterback at Cal, played in two Super Bowl teams with the Cowboys. But you play until you're in your late 30s, that's over 20 years, more than 20 years of playing in that game. And I've only got one child, and that's a daughter, and thank God she's not going to play football. But I would not urge my son. My dad told me I was made for basketball. I don't know about Steve or you, but my dad told me
sitting on the bench, but that's another story.
Well, my dad told me to be a place kicker because they don't get hit as hard.
Well, we used to play, when we were kids, we used to play tackle football, but we were 12, 13, 14 years old. We only weighed 120, 130 pounds.
Yeah, but that cement was hard, though.
No, we played on the grass. We played in the mud. We played in the mud.
You
and we'd whack each other around, but I mean, compared to the, we hit 240 against 230 pounds moving, head on collision. I mean,
we used to play on asphalt and see if you could crack the asphalt.
Oh, God. You're crazy. You are nuts.
That's why it took me 6 years to go to high school.
Well, we've enjoyed our conversation with Steve Croner. And Steve, for those that don't know what's going on with the sports writing, it's changed a lot because of all the new media, the social media. Newspapers haven't gone away, but they've taken really a backseat, which I think is unfortunate. I still read the Chronicle religiously every day. I think those of us who are older love to read the newspaper, pick it up, have it in our hands. Are the newspapers, are they going to be able to survive, into the 21st century? Because it seems like a lot of them have been going away.
Yeah, that's a business question for people whose pay levels are much higher than mine. Which isn't saying a lot. No.
Well, let me interject for a second. I used to get paid between $500 to $1,000 an article when I was writing for business magazines in the 80s.
Right.
And now, I mean, you got to give it away.
Yeah.
They won't pay anything.
No, they won't. Yeah. They won't. But you managed to survive for 20 years in a newspaper. How'd you do that?
If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you baffle them with BS. No. I think one of the things that has, a couple of things, trying to be as self-deprecating but aware as possible. I think my knowledge of sports, particularly my knowledge of Bay Area sports, I think has been deemed pretty valuable around the department.
Good point. Hey, Steve, stay with us just one more quick second. We got to go to a quick break, and we want to finish up with the last segment with you.
Okay,
what player hit over 300 home runs, hit more home runs than striking out in their career? So what player with over 300 home runs hit more home runs than striking out in their career?
Okay.
That's kind of an interesting question. All right, don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Bruce McGowan. Last trivia question. What player with over 300 home runs hit more home runs than striking out in their career?
Steve, you want to try that one?
I will fess up here. My guess was going to be Joe DiMaggio, but by looking on my computer here, it looks like he just missed it.
Wow. I was going to say Joe DiMaggio also.
Yeah, he's the closest, hitting 361 home runs and striking out 369
times.
Actually, nobody's ever done it.
Nobody has ever done it, but Joe DiMaggio came the closest. Hey, before we let you go, Steve, you were mentioning, you know, the key to survival real quickly. What, you know, obviously your knowledge, your experience. And you've been able to hang in there with the Chronicle for a while, so you're going to be there for a while longer, I hope.
Well, that's not necessarily my decision, but I, so, I you know, again, I think my knowledge of sports, my knowledge of the English language, hopefully that I know where the period's supposed to go and where the semicolon and the colon. And lastly, the fact that this is probably more valuable now than it was when I started 20 years ago, but the fact that I – you have a background in television. Video is now, it's not part of your newspaper when you get it in the morning, but it is part of our website.
And Steve, if it was up to Bruce and me, we would have you on for another 30 years. On it.
Okay.
You know, we got to cut out now. So here's our thoughts for the day. Most of the problems in life are caused or because of two reasons. We act without thinking or we keep thinking without acting. And to achieve the highest latitude, have an attitude of gratitude.
Oh, that's
isn't that a good one?
That's a
you
good
like
one.
That
I
one?
Like that one.
All right, Steve Croner, thank you again for joining us on Sports Econ 101. We're definitely going to have you on again. And for the audience out there, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Good night, America.
So long.